But her distress was aggravated, I think, by two things. One of them was wrong thinking. Is this not where it all comes off the rails? You're coming into church this morning and she didn't speak to you on the way in. Why did she not speak? She's avoiding me. She really is avoiding me. It must have been because of I jammed her car in the car park last week. It must have been because I bumped into her child in the hall. She's not avoiding you. She's looking for somebody else. Okay, she just didn't see you. Just chill out about it, okay? There's a corny example, but it's just like wrong thinking. We get wrong ideas and then we begin to work out everything on the basis of our wrong ideas and we get totally messed up. Mary's wrong thinking was this. Listen to her conclusion. She says, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. Well, who are the they? I don't know. Just they. You know what it's like? They're to blame. How often do we say that? It's them. I wish they would fix the road. Well, who are you talking about? Them. They did it. Not otherwise specified. Maybe she's thinking of Nicodemus, Joseph Arimathea, other people who've taken the body away. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. And this was the framework in which she was thinking. Somebody must have stolen the body. No other explanation. You notice what's missing? The possibility, just the possibility, that something supernatural could have happened. That something amazing could have happened. One of the astonishing things about the accounts of Jesus' resurrection is the difficulty which Jesus' followers had in accepting the obvious. Jesus was telling them over and over and over again, I am going to be handed over, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to rise on the third day. Even his enemies got that message because they went to the Romans and said, that deceiver said, he's going to rise on the third day. Let's seal up the tomb in case the disciples steal him. His enemies got the message, but his followers didn't. And she was thinking within this framework of wrong thinking, well, there's only one explanation. Somebody's stolen him. Even though Jesus had been saying, I'm going to rise, I'm going to rise, I'm going to rise. Even the Pharisees who hated him got that message. Didn't get the rest of his message, but they certainly got that bit. Wrong thinking. Oh, that's where it all goes wrong. When it comes to matters of Christianity, maybe you're one of these people and you think, well, you immediately dismiss the supernatural. You live in a world where everything is predictable and scientifically verifiable. There's no room for the supernatural. Well, you're immediately excluding a realm of reality, which is the supernatural. You're saying, oh, dead people don't rise. Who says they don't rise? You don't believe they rise. The Bible teaches that they do rise. Jesus was seen by eyewitnesses after he rose from the dead. Wrong thinking. Oh, beware of it. That's where everything goes off the rails. So her distress was aggravated by wrong thinking. But it was aggravated by another thing. It was aggravated by the total inability of Peter and John to offer any explanation or indeed any comfort. Just read what happened. She ran to Peter and John and said, they've taken the Lord away. Peter and the other disciple, that's John, started running. They ran as fast as they could. John was a faster runner. He got there first. He didn't go in. Peter, hothead as always, straight into the tomb. They saw the linen clothes lying there. It was just like, this is not a scene where grave robbers, for example, have been in. Grave robbers don't carefully unwrap the clothes, lay them down, take the body away. Anyway, why would grave robbers go? Jesus had nothing at the end. Nothing. He's not going to be buried with a bag of gold. So what's the point? It just didn't look like a scene where that had happened. They looked in, they saw and believed. Verse 9 says they still did not. They believed that the tomb was empty. They believed that the grave clothes were folded. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They still did not get it, even at this point. And then I think this is a verse 10, the more I think of this, I think this is a terrible indictment of Peter and John. Verse 10, the disciples went back to their homes. They went home. They left Mary. Mary had, in distress, had gone to get them for help. They came, they just looked in, it was just like, we don't know what's happened, and they went home. They couldn't say anything to Mary. They didn't like give a hug and say, well, we don't know what's happened, but we're with you in this. They said, well, it's past breakfast time, off home we go. And they just left her there. Now, I'm kind of making fun of Peter and John. It's not fair, really. They're not here to answer for themselves. But her distress is aggravated by the inability of others to help. They couldn't even be there. And sometimes the best thing that you can do for somebody who is suffering in some way is just to be there. You may not have the answers, but just be there with them. Let them know that you're in that experience with them. Peter and John couldn't even do that. And that must have made Mary's distress even worse. So she starts off as a picture of devotion. She very quickly becomes a picture of distress when she finds that the stone's been rolled away, the body has gone. So what do you think's next? There's no explanation. The guys can't even be there. She's left completely on her own. She's in free fall. What's the next D, you think? Despair. Despair.